Morning. Today's Daf in the Darm is Lamed Zion. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship. The Daf is on Zicha Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bas Shmuel. We are on the middle of Lamed Vav Amud Beis. The Mishnah taught us all the way back on Lamed Hey Amud Beis that if a neder was made, making a prohibition between one another, that one can't get hana from another, but nevertheless, he could still have truma being separated on his behalf. The Mishnah says back on the top of Lamed Hey Amud Beis, Vitar Mishtru Maso Maso Sav Ledato, that you can take off truma and masros with his consent. Yesterday the Gemara finished off a discussion of whether or not I can go into someone else's property and take off the truma for that person, whether it's a schus, and we say zachon l'adam shelo b'fanav, or do we say that no, that I'm taking away his mitzvah, and as a result of that I cannot do that. The Gemara seeked to find a proof for this question from our Mishnah, but then the Gemara left that question unresolved, because our Mishnah could be just dealing with a very simple scenario in which the owner of the field say, kol ha'rotze litrom yavo v'yitrom, anyone who wants it can come and take off truma. So there was permission that was given for anybody to come over. So even if the one who was forbidden to give benefit came over, he didn't do so at a specific request. And so therefore, our Mishnah does not resolve this question. We find ourselves right now in the middle of Lamed Vav Amud Beis. And the following question was proposed from Rabbi Zera. If let's say that I take off truma onto somebody else's produce. So in other words, I'm a sponsor. And I am going to go into my own field and take off my own truma, some mitzvos, and use it to rectify somebody else's produce. Tovas ana shel mi. Mar's question now is, who has tovas ana? Tovas ana is the ability to decide which kohen I'm in fact going to be giving this truma some mitzvos to. So who has the right to decide? Generally speaking, in a normal scenario where the owner of the field takes the truma some mitzvos, obviously he has the ability to decide which kohen it goes to. This is what's called tovas ana. It has a value. The value of determining the allocation of the truma is a value. In this scenario, the Gemara wants to know if somebody else is taking off Shumas and Maisos using his own produce in order to rectify somebody else's produce. So who is given that right to Tovas Hana'a? Gemara presents both sides of this question. Mi amrinan ilav pere dehech mi metakna kirya dahu. On one hand, one can make a very easy argument that, look, it should be the sponsor's ability to decide. He's the one who is providing the produce for the Trumas HaMaisos, so therefore, without his sponsorship, there would be no Trumas HaMaisos, and as a result of that, he should be able to decide which kohen it goes to. O Dilma, the Gemara, however, goes over the other side of this question. Ilav kirya dahu lo havim peren de hadein truma. On the other hand, without the other person's produce, so there wouldn't be any Trumas HaMaisos, meaning that it's true there is a sponsor, but on the other hand, sponsorship in this particular case is wonderful, but without the other person's produce where it's being rectified, so then the sponsor's Trumas HaMaisos wouldn't be considered Trumas HaMaisos. So even though he's doing something which is very generous, on the other hand, it wouldn't have status of Trumas HaMaisos without the other person. So Amalei Amakra is called Tvasarecha Vinasata. So the answer that Rabbi Zera gives is that if you look at the continuum of two psukim, it says kol tvuah zarecha, meaning all your grain venasata. Those are a citation of two separate psukim. Sounds like the venasata, the ability to decide who it goes to, is going to be given to the owner of the field. The owner of the field, even though somebody else is going to come along and sponsor his trumas HaMaisos, he, the owner of the field, ultimately will have the ability to decide which coin it's going to go to. That is right now Rabbi Zera's answer to the question, based on the way he understands the juxtaposition of these two psukim. Eisver, the Gemara challenges, Tarim es trumasav es masoso ledato. We look back at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, once again, deals with a case where a neder was made, and yet, despite the fact that a neder was made, so one person can, even though he's not allowed to provide benefit for the other person, but he could take off trumas HaMaisos. So the Gemara says, now let's consider that if we're going to be giving the tovas ana to the owner of the produce, hakamahanile. So now he is providing for him a benefit. So elish maminat tovasana delay. So the Gemara says, so it must be that the tovasana must be able to be retained by the sponsor. Amri lo mishal balakri. Al shel bal hakri. So the Gemara says that no. What the case in the Mishnah is that there was no sponsor. And the truth of the matter is that when he came into somebody else's field, he took trumos ha'maisos from the field owner's produce himself. Well, the da'ato de bal hakri. So, and when it says da'ato, when it says his consent, what does that mean? Consent? It means the consent of the field owner. So again, it only begs the question. So now, the construct of our Mishnah is where the one coming into somebody else's field is taking off Trumos and Maisos, presumably as an agent, as a shliach, and that can't be because our Mishnah is all built around the idea that there's a neder, that the one coming in is cannot give benefit to the owner of the field. And meanwhile, he's doing him a favor. So how can that work? So once again, the Gemara says, Balmer kolaros alitro miyavo vitro. So the Gemara once again says that our Mishnah is talking about a scenario where the owner of the field said, I give permission to anyone who wants to come over and to take off Chuma. So in other words, there was not a specific request given by the owner of the field. He just simply allowed anyone who wants to come in to do so. The fact that the person who's doing so is Usur Behana'a, cannot provide benefit to the field owner, is not consequential because the field owner himself allowed anyone to do so. Tashma, the Gemara now comes back to the original question. Again, the original question that was asked to Rabbi Zera is that if somebody comes and sponsors Trumas and Maisers for somebody else's produce, so who's given the Tovas and Asa? The Gemara says, let's deduce it from the following. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Makdish Mosef Chomish. So there are going to be three halachas stated in a row by Rav Yochanan. Number one, halacha number one, Hamakdish Mosif Chomish. The Ran explains in a scenario where a person was consecrating an animal for a friend, and then the animal becomes blemished, and the animal now is subject to a possible redemption. So who is going to have to add on a fifth when redeeming? We know the basic halacha is upon redemption that if the owner of any property that was designated as hektish wants to redeem his own property, what was once his own property, so he has to add on a chumash, he has to add on a fifth, which halachically comes out to 25%. So here, one person was makdish on an animal on behalf of somebody else. Who is considered the owner, quote-unquote, as it results in adding on the additional chomesh? So, the first statement of Rav Yochanan is that that is the makdish. That's the person who consecrated the animal. Number two, miskaper osa tmura. In the halachas of tmura, the ability to effect an exchange between one animal and another, and again, we know that the Torah does not actually allow an exchange to occur. The original animal remains kadosh. The second animal, which was the attempted exchange animal, is also going to have kedusha. So, who can affect tamura? So in the world of tamura, the answer is the miskapa, the one who is receiving the kapara. So again, in the same model where one person is sponsoring a carbon on behalf of another person, so here in this halach of tamura, it goes after miskaper. V'hatar mishlo, she'en ha'shalo, tovasana ha'shalo. And finally, the Gemara concludes that if you are being taken off Trumas and Maisros, using your own produce to rectify someone else's produce, you, the sponsor, have the ability of Tovas Ana. This goes against Rabbi Zera's conclusion. Rabbi Zera thought that the ability to take off Trumas and Maisros, the ability of Tovas Ana goes to the field owner. So this statement of Rav Yochanan does not agree. The statement of Rav Yochanan says that the Tovas Ana goes to the sponsor, not to the field owner. The Ran points out over here that once you say this, so then you're going to have to go back and revisit the drushes as presented by Rabbi Zera, and you're going to have to give a different explanation of those drushes. Okay, we are now in the bottom of Lamed Vav Lamed Beis. We are at the two dots. The Mishnah says, in a construct scenario where I have a person making a neder against another, so what can be done is that the one who is not allowed to provide benefit can teach him halachos and medrash halachos agados, what we would call Torah Shebaal Peh, v'lo yilam der mikra, but you cannot teach him chumash, mikra maitam alo. The obvious question the Gemara deals with is, why not? What is the problem with teaching him chumash? So my time alo yilam derem bishem dekamahani lei. So the Gemara at this point offers a very simple explanation because he's providing him a benefit. So medrash nami kamahani lei. So for whatever that benefit may be, which we're going to articulate in just a moment. So if teaching somebody chumash is providing a hana, so too is teaching somebody Torah Shebaal Peh. So Amar Shmuel b'makom shenot l'nischar l'mikra v'enot l'nischar l'medrash. So Shmuel gives an understanding that helps us understand this distinction between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. When it comes to Chumash, so charge can be made. You can charge somebody to teach them Chumash. And so therefore, in our scenario where you have Shimon not being able to provide Hana for Reuven, and Shimon teaches Reuven Chumash, and generally speaking, a charge is made. So here, if Reuven doesn't pay him, so then Reuven's going to be benefiting because he's going to be saving on all that tuition dollar. So they ain't only scharla medrash, but however, you know, one doesn't charge for Torah Shebaal Peh, and so therefore, it's a generally speaking a free service that's provided. So since it's a free service, so therefore, there's no hana. My paska, the Gemara says, okay, but why do we charge for teaching chumash? Why do we not charge for Torah Shebaal Peh for medrash? So hakamash malan dafilu b'makom shenot l'schar al mikra shari l'mishkal al medrash lo shari l'mishkal. So the Gemara goes on to explain that in a scenario where the people do accept a charge, a fee for teaching, but that's only for teaching chumash. That's not there's no charge for teaching medrash. The Ran over here explains the Gemara in the following manner. The Ran says, look, there are certain communities where the minhag is not to charge bechlal, not for Torah Shebichsav, not for Torah Shebaal Peh. But that's not the ikar, then that's not according to the strict letter of the law. The strict letter of the law is that you are entitled to charge for chumash, which the Gemara is going to explain in just a moment why that should be, but you cannot charge for Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Ran says that that's what Shmuel means. Shmuel means that if you happen to live in a community where we follow not the chumrah, not the extra stringency of nobody charging, but if we live in a community where they follow the din, the letter of the law, states that you could charge for chumash, but you can't charge for Torah Shebaal Peh. Again, the Gemara in a moment is just going to explain why that should be. But considering that that's where you live, so then you understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if you are bound by neder that you can't give hana to somebody else, so you can give him Torah Shebaal, you can teach him Torah Shebaal Peh because that is generally a free service. You can't teach him chumash because that's something that you normally charge for, and by not charging, you're providing him a benefit because now he's getting something that he normally would have to pay for. What about the fact that he's learning? So he's being educated and he's learning Torah. So the Ran points out that's a mitzvah lav lahanis netnu. Okay, but that's a mitzvah. We're supposed to learn. We need to learn, and so therefore that can't qualify as a hana because mitzvahs do not qualify as a hana. Good. But all this leads us to the basic question, and that is maishna medrash delo. So how come I can't charge for teaching Torah Shebaal Peh? Dechsiva sitziva Hashem beitzehi lo amed etzchem. The pasuk describing Moshe Rabbeinu upon his receiving of the Torah, so he says, I was given instruction by Kadosh Baruch Hu l'lamed eschem to teach v'kasov re'e l'amati eschem chukim mishpatim kashir tzivani Hashem. I was instructed to teach chukim mishpatim just like Kadosh Baruch Hu instructed me to do so. Mani b'chinam afatam nami b'chinam. Just like I do so and I was instructed to do so for free, so to any future time that a person is going to disseminate Torah to somebody else, so he has to do so for free. So chukim and mishpatim can only be taught for free. If you take a look at the Ran over here, the Ran does have a difficult time. He really struggles in terms of understanding where exactly in the pasuk does it indicate that Moshe was given instruction to teach for free. But the Ran gives a pshat. So you can see the Ran inside. I'm not going to go through it at this moment, but you can see the Ran where he goes on to explain that Moshe was instructed to teach the Torah for free, and therefore la'olam vad, we have a imperative to teach the Torah, and we have to do so without any charge. You take a look at the Rush. The Rush points out that the Ma'ani Bechinam is not talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rush points out that Ma'ani Bechinam is talking about Kadosh Baruch Hu. Just like I, Kadosh Baruch Hu, taught, and obviously Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't charge, so too, for all future dissemination of Torah, there should be no charge. It's an easier way to understand how we arrive at the conclusion of Chinam. Good. So where we stand right now in the Gemara is that whenever you teach Chukim Mishpatim, you teach laws of the Torah, so it has to be disseminated for no charge. So it only then prompts the Gemara to ask the next question. So Mikra Nami Bechinam. So the Gemara says, well, that's true. The Chumash also. Chumash is also Chukim Mishpatim. It's also the laws of the Torah. So then I'd still struggle to understand what's the difference. How come you're allowed to charge for the teaching of Chumash? So on this point, the Gemara now is going to divide into two different schools of thought. Rav Amar Schar Shimur. Rav is of the opinion that you are charging, but you're charging for the babysitting. So in other words, you're teaching Chumash, and generally speaking, you're teaching Chumash to a younger crowd. Let's call them 5, 6, 7 years of age. They're rowdy. They need people. They need just a lot of attention, and also you have to make sure they don't run around. So really, what you're charging for is not for the chumash, but basically to control the classroom. Rav Yochanan amar schar pisuk tamen. Rav Yochanan says no. What you're really charging for is the pisuk tamen, which we can right now just describe as a trop. In other words, how to properly lay the Torah. So both Rabbi Yochanan have one common denominator, and that is you're charging for teaching chumash, but not it's not for the chukim and shvatim. It's not for the laws contained in the Chumash. It's for some sort of ancillary service that you're providing. According to Rav, the ancillary service is babysitting. In other words, it's a rowdy crowd. Obviously, that means, according to Rav, that if you're teaching Chumash to an adult, so then you for sure can't charge because the adult is not rowdy. You don't have to control the crowd. According to Rav, this only would be limited to a child. Meanwhile, according to Rav Yochanan, where it's Pisuk Ta'amim, so Pisuk Ta'amim means that anytime you're teaching somebody Trop, which interestingly is an ancillary component to the Torah. In other words, it's not part and parcel of the Torah, so therefore you're allowed to charge because that is not considered chukim and mishpatim. The Gemara is going to come back to that point in just a moment. Good, so these are the two reasons why our Mishnah does allow for the charging of chumash, because either shimur or pisuk ta'amim, tanan. The Gemara quotes our Mishnah. Lo yilamdeh mikra. The Mishnah says that you're not allowed to teach chumash. Bishlam laman damer schar pisuk tamim haina de lo yilamdenu. So good. So if it has to do with the teaching of the trop, so then I understand. Laman damer schar shimur gadol b'shimahu. But right now, the Gemara is assuming that our Mishnah is talking about one person teaching another person, meaning two adults learning with one another. So there's no shimur. There's no controlling of the little kids. We're right now assuming that our Mishnah is talking about adults. So then why would it be prohibited? You're only allowed to charge for babysitting, but there's no babysitting involved in our Mishnah. So Bikatan Katani, so the Gemara says, well, maybe our Mishnah is talking about a katan. Now, if you think about this answer of the Gemara for just a moment, now the Mishnah is a very strange Mishnah. The Mishnah now is describing where a neder was made between an adult and a child, meaning that for whatever reason, the adult made a neder that he's not allowed to give hana over to this child. And in of itself, that's strange, it's unusual, but that's right now what the Gemara is suggesting the Mishnah is describing. And under those circumstances, now he can't teach him Torah, because by teaching him Torah, so he's going to be saving him money. Now, the Ran points out over here, it's still a little bit strange, because we know that the child is not mitzuvah, meaning even if the child is receiving a benefit, but he's not chayiv in mitzvos yet. So the Ran points this out, and the Ran writes, it's the fourth wide line in the Ran at the end, towards the end of the line, b'katan dehavi hai mudar katan. Because right now the katan is in a position where he's not allowed to be receiving benefit from the one who's teaching him chumash. Now the Ran points out, it's true that even if the katan were to be receiving hana, so he's a katan, and we know that a katan can eat nevela, can eat non-kosher food, meaning that he can violate Yisurim in the Torah. Ein b'zim mitzuvin la'afrisho. And nobody has to stop him from violating Yisurim in the Torah. Afilo hachi lo safinan le'biyadayim. Uchishim alamda harehu mehaneu. But over here, it's still going to be a problem, the Ron points out, because here, it's not that the katan on his own is eating nevela, or in this case, the isser in question is getting hana from somebody he's not allowed to get hana from, but over here, the adult is actually teaching him, meaning directly giving him hana, directly providing for him an isser. That's why in this scenario, explains Iran, it'd not be allowed to do that. So now back to our Gemara. So right now our Gemara is suggesting that our Mishnah is describing where the mudar in question is a katan. So the Gemara says, even that's a very difficult pshat. Because now you look back at our Mishnah and just continue in the Mishnah. Avamalamed is banav mikra. So, but the Mishnah says you can't teach him, meaning the mudar, you can't teach him chumash, but you can teach his kids chumash. Now think about it. Our Mishnah is describing a child. So now what we're saying is that you can't teach the child of the child. Katan bar banim hu? That's impossible. So chesur mechzer v'achik tani. So the Gemara says, in defense of Rav, here's what we're going to say. Lo yilam den mikra bekatan. You can't teach him chumash. That's talking about a katan. Because again, according to Rav, the problem with teaching him chumash is that he's a child and he needs shimur and he needs to be watched, and therefore you're providing a hana in the service of shmira. Ima yagadam alamdo. Now if he's an adult, you could teach him, because now there is simply no problem. There's no charge for teaching an adult chumash, and so therefore that'd be fine. Milamdo lo ulavanav mikra. And then you could teach him, and you could teach his children chumash as well. Okay, so this would be a defense of the Mishnah, according to Rav. Maze with the Gemara challenges, Tinokos lo korin b'tchila b'Shabbos. When you have a child, you cannot teach him something new on Shabbos, Elishon and Berishon. But rather, what you could do is you could review something that he already knows. This is a brisa, and right now the Gemara is going to struggle in terms of understanding why it is on Shabbos. You can't teach him something new, but you could review. Bishlam l'manda maschar pisuk tamim haino dein korin b'tchila b'Shabbos el l'manda amar. So let's pause over here for a moment. According to the Rav Yochanan approach, that the prohibition of teaching Chumash is Pisuk Ta'amim. So then, or I should say rather, the charge of teaching Chumash is Pisuk Ta'amim, meaning that one is entitled to teach Shrub. So then I understand in Korban B'Tchil B'Shabbos, so then you can't teach him Shrub for the first time on Shabbos. Because, as we know, there is a rabbinic prohibition to work on Shabbos, even if you're not violating a malacha, you're simply providing a service. There's a rabbinic prohibition to receive payment for services provided on Shabbos. This is known as Schar Shabbos. So if I contract with somebody and I teach them Trup for the first time on Shabbos, so now I'm providing a service. I'm teaching them Trup on Shabbos, and that's a violation of Schar Shabbos. So according to Rav Yochanan, now I understand the Braisa. The Braisa says that if the child doesn't know Trup and I'm teaching him Trup for the first time on Shabbos, so I'm getting paid now for a service that I'm doing on Shabbos, and that's no good, that you're not allowed to do. The Braisa says you want to review with him. Reviewing with him is fine. There's no problem with reviewing. He knows it already. You're not teaching it to him. So reviewing it is fine. But teaching him for the first time in Shabbos is going to be a problem because it represents Schar Shabbos. El Laman Dar Meschar Shimur. But if you hold like Rav, that the whole basis of charging is because of the babysitting. So amayin karam b'tchil b'Shabbos v'amayin shonim b'rishon. So then the Brisa really makes no sense, because then the Brisa is teaching us that you can not learn new material, but you can review with him. If what you're charging for is babysitting, so then what difference does it make what the material is? It's new material, it's old material. You are going to be charging for the babysitting, which would represent a violation of Schar Shabbos. So then the Brisa doesn't make any sense. So Haika Schar Shima to Shabbos. There's always going to be babysitting, whether you're learning new material or old material. So the Gemara says, L'tameh Schar Pisuk b'Shabbos mi'aser, Havlai v'avlam Yishrei Shabbos. So the Gemara says, okay. So let's go back to Rav Yochanan. We said that the Braisa works out well according to Rav Yochanan. The Gemara now is arguing, not really. It doesn't work out so well according to Rav Yochanan, because the Braisa says that there's a difference between new versus old. Even if it's new, meaning even if you're teaching him Chop for the first time, this is not the only time you're sitting down with him to teach him Chop. You're teaching him Chop on Shabbos, but you're doing so during the week as well. Schar Shabbos, receiving a remuneration for services that you provide on Shabbos, is only going to be problematic only if you do it exclusively on Shabbos. If, however, you contract with him to work during the week and on Shabbos, so this is what's called Havlah, and under those circumstances, that's mutter, that's permitted. The Tanya, the Gemara here quotes a Braisa, Socher Sapol Lishmor Satinok, Lishmor Sapara, Lishmor Sazraim, Ain Nosden Lo Schar Shabbos. If you contract with a worker to watch the child, now that happens to be, this is talking about the Paraduma, or to watch the Paraduma itself, or to watch the seeds, all these have to do with various mitzvahs, mitzvahs of Paraduma, mitzvahs of Ksir Saomer. In any way, if he's doing it just on Shabbos, Ain Nosden Lo Schar Shabbos. So now he can't receive a reward, because if it's just for Shabbos, you're not allowed to receive a reward. So what kind of custodial responsibility does he have? He's what's called a Shomer Chinam. Lefichach, and because he's a Shomer Chinam, we're now on the top of Lamed Zayin Beis, Im Avdo, Eino Chayev Ba'achar Yusam. So if something happens, if a loss occurs, so because he's a Shomer Chinam, so therefore he's not responsible, he's not liable. V'im Ayeschir Shabbos, Schir Chodesh, Schir Shana, Schir Shavua. However, if he's contracted by the week, by the month, by the year, by a 7-year period, Nosen Lo Schar Shabbos, so then you can give him then you can give him a payment, because again, this is a havlah. Now he's not just contracted just for Shabbos by itself, now he's contracted for a week or any duration longer than that. So the Shabbos payment is going to be absorbed in the balance of the contract, and therefore he'd be allowed to get paid. Lefichach im avdo chay b'achar yusam. Now what kind of custodian is he? He's a shomer sacher. He's getting paid, which means that his liability is revved up, and therefore if a loss happens, he's going to be liable. So now, with all this taken into consideration, really this brisa that we now just offered, that you're not allowed to teach new material, but that you're allowed to teach old material, so the brisa doesn't work out according to Rav. The brisa doesn't also work out neither for Rav Yochanan as well. So the Gemara now is going to give a totally new pshat in this brisa, and therefore the brisa is really not going to speak to at all the halachas of Rav and Rav Yochanan about teaching Chumash. So the Gemara now is going to offer another explanation, and that is as follows. Why is it that you cannot teach new material on Shabbos? Mishum di yifnu avoson di yinuka limitzvos Shabbos, so that the father can give his full attention to his children for the purposes of the mitzvahs of Shabbos. What does that mean? Take a look at the Ran on the side of the Gemara. He writes, Sheha avos atinokas ponim limitzvos Shabbos umishta ash Shin imatinokos veimikru atinokos lechachila yachoshu liv tulam. The Ryan explains that if there was, let's say, new material being taught on Shabbos, so now that young man has a real temptation to leave his house and go to shiur and listen to the new shiur because it's new material and he doesn't want to miss the new material, and so therefore what he's going to have to do on Shabbos is leave his parents and leave his family in order to learn. And the father is no longer going to spend time with his children. One of the mitzvahs of Shabbos is spending time with your family. So therefore, that's what the brisa means. The brisa means, don't teach new material, because if you do, then the children are not going to be able to spend time with their family. That is one possibility. The Gemara goes on to give another explanation. So another explanation of the brisa is that on Shabbos, we know we eat and drink and we feast and the Yakir Alehem Alma. Literally, the world is very heavy, meaning that because he ate and drank so much, so he's a little bit lethargic. And the problem is that if you learn new material, learning new material is harder. You need to be more focused, more energized, and a lot of your energy has been zapped out because of Shabbos. Kedam Shmuel, the Gemara quotes a statement of Shmuel. We've seen this already a number of times. Shinui Vesta Tchilas Cholem Ayim. That anytime you have any change of schedule, so it brings about Cholem Malamim, it brings about some sort of intestinal problem. So in other words, Shabbos, you're just simply not as energized to learn new material, and that's why you want to learn on Shabbos. You don't want to go a day without learning, but don't learn new material. Spend time reviewing something you already know. That's quote-unquote easier learning, and that's what the Braisa means, period. Okay, so at this point in time now, we go back to the beginning of the daf today, at least the beginning of the sugya. So what do we see? That teaching chukim and mishpatim, teaching laws of the Torah, has to be disseminated for free. The teaching mikra, teaching chumash, the Mishnah says that's something that generally was charged. Well, how can you charge? That's part of chukim and mishpatim. So on that, we have two opinions. Rav's opinion is that what you can charge is for the babysitting. That's Rav. And Rav Yochanan says, no, what you can charge is for the pisuk ta'amim, what we would call the trop. Those are considered ancillary components. Those are not part of chukim and mishpatim, and therefore that is what you can charge. The Gemara tried to bring a source that would support Rav Yochanan, would be a proof against Rav, but the Gemara ends up concluding that the Braisa is not speaking to either point. It does beg a very basic question, and that is the minhag bizmanenu, is that people do in fact charge for teaching Torah, both Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. The Ran addresses that all the way back on the Amud Aleph. If you want to take a look back on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, the Ran is halfway down the narrow lines in Le'inyan Halacha, Kaim Alan Hachi. So just to review the point the Ran makes, the Alam Ejesh Lo Shayla Mishkal, so that when teaching Torah Shebaal Peh, so you're not allowed to charge. Hanimi L'Schar Li Limud. So that, the Ran says, that's only talking about charging for the actual dissemination of information of agar betela shari. But the Ran says, but look, the person who's dedicated to teaching, so that means then that he's going to not have time to do other activities, to do other types of employment. And the Ran quotes a Gemara Yushama that makes this exact point. And then the Yerushalmi goes on to describe how some took a fee for teaching. Amar Rav Yudah Bar Rav Yishmael Schar Batalam Heinotlin. And then the Yerushalmi says that no, but they're not charging a fee for the actual teaching. That's something that they're not allowed to do. But Schar Batalam. But now what you're asking them to do is to lose time finding some other form of employment and some other form of money making. So that the Yerushalmi says that's what you can charge for the Schar Batalam. Much more to discuss about this topic, about charging money for teaching Torah. You can see the Rambam in the beginning of Talmud Torah where he discusses this issue, and also see the Kesef Mishnah there as well for more discussion. We're back in the Gemara. We are now on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara now is going to go over again this machlokus between Rav and Rav Yochanan. What exactly one is allowed to charge when teaching Chumash? Why is one allowed to charge when teaching Chumash? So why doesn't Rav Yochanan agree with Rav? Why is Schar Shimur not a good way to explain the justification of charging for teaching Chumash? Because the Gemara says, look, Rav Yochanan says, you're teaching Chumash, you're teaching it to boys and you're teaching it to girls. Boys need Shimur, girls don't need Shimur. You take a look at the Ran over here. Why don't girls need Shimur? So the Ran says, take a look at the Ran at the end of the Dibur Hamaschil of Lefichach. So, I'm sorry, the end of the Dibur Hamaschil of Gadol Mibay Shimur. So the Ran writes over there, of Albanos, Afilu Ketanos Lo Bay Shimur. Even young girls don't need Shimur. She'ain Darkan Latzeis Lechutz. Because they're not as wild, rambunctious, ready to go outside as the boys are. Boys without proper Shimur, so they will, climb all over the place. But the girls are, generally speaking, much better behaved, and so they don't need a shimur. Rav Yochanan says he works with an assumption that you're teaching chumash to both boys and girls, and so it can't be that shimur is a justification for charging because girls don't need shimur. Gemara goes back and Laman Amar Schar Shimur My Time Alo Amar Schar Pisuk Ta'amim. Why doesn't Rav agree with Rav Yochanan? Kasav Pisuk Ta'amim Daraisahu. So according to Rav is of the opinion that the trup is part and parcel of Torah, meaning that we know that you can't charge for chukim and mishpatim. So Rav Yochanan is of the opinion that trop is not part of chukim mishpatim. It's the cantillation, the trop, the way that we sing the Torah. So according to Rav Yochanan, that's not mina Torah. So according to Rav Yochanan, when did that come? When did that develop? So I don't know. But in other words, that's not part of Torah Misinai. Rav is going to be of the opinion that no, that the trop is part of Torah Misinai. And so therefore, it's part and parcel of chukim and mishpatim. And that's why you can't charge for the trop. The Amrav Ika Barav and Amrav Chanan Amrav my dechsev. The Gemara now is going to darshan a pasuk from Sefer Nehemiah, where you're going to see that the trop is part of Torah Misinai. Veikaru b'sefer Torah Salokim eferash v'sam sechel v'yavina b'mikra. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk, and now the Gemara is going to go phrase by phrase through the pasuk. Veikaru b'sefer, they read from the Sefer Torah Salokim. Sorry, veikaru b'sefer Torah Salokim zu mikra. That's a reference to Chumash. Miforash, then the Navi describes it as explaining, Zu Targum. So Targum is also part of the Torah Shabbat, it's part of the oral tradition that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now it's interesting, the Targum that we have is from Unklus. Unklus lived during Bayi Sheni, during the Second Temple. This is a Pasuk in Nehemiah, which was all the way at the beginning of Bayi Sheni. The Gemara in Megillah notes that historically we are a little bit off of one another. How can Nehemiah being described Targum when Unklus hasn't lived yet? And furthermore, the question really is that what the Gemara now is saying is that Targum goes all the way back to Torah Misinai. So why is Unklus during the Second Temple, which is about 1,000 years after Matan Torah, so what is he doing giving us the Targum when Targum should have been around for much longer? So the Gemara Miguel asks that question, but the Gemara says, Shachachum v'chazum v'yastum, that there was a Targum, it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, but then parts of it were forgotten, and Unklus put it back together again, so to say. Back to the Pasuk in Nehemiah, v'som sechel, Elu hapsukim. So this is the places where we are supposed to make stops, meaning that in the Chumash itself, there's no nekudos, there's no punctuation. We don't know where one pasuk ends and the next pasuk begins, so that's part of Torah Misinai. V'yavino b'mikra, zu pisuk ta'amim. And a understanding comes from pisuk ta'amim, meaning that if we follow not only where to stop, but if we follow the trop, so the trop also gives us a better sense of what the Torah means. The trop actually follows a understanding of the true intent of the pasuk. V'amrila elam esaros, and another explanation of what the Havana, what the understanding of the Mikra is a reference to the Mesorah, part of the tradition that's given to us of Kri Ksiv, as the Gemara itself is about to explain. Okay, so that is, Adkan Divrei HaMachlokes between Rav and Rav Yochanan. So again, just to quickly summarize, so our Mishnah tells us that if a person is the Mudar Hana, if he's not allowed to be receiving benefit from the Ma'adir, so the Ma'adir can teach him Torah Shabbat Peh, because that's Bechinam, that's a service that's normally provided, that is supposed to be provided free of charge, and so therefore there is no Hana, there's no Hana exchange between the two, and the only consideration is Chumash. Chumash says the Mishnah, you're not allowed to teach. And the Mishnah says, why are you not allowed to teach Chumash? So on that, the Gemara gives two explanations. Rav says it has to do with the Shemur. It has to do with the fact that it's babysitting, because Chumash is generally taught to minors. And Rav Yochanan says no, that the chumash is you can charge for chumash because of pisuk tamim, because you're charging for the trop. Meaning, according to Rav Yochanan, the trop is not part of Torah Misinai, and therefore you could charge for for the teaching of the trop. Adkan, tomorrow we'll pick it up from the Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, found on the bottom of Lamazayin Amud Beis.